So if you're wondering why the studio is empty, it's mainly because at least half of the ops team is currently here in the gorgeous, beautiful, sunny Gold Coast of Australia for Microsoft Ignite. You can say something anytime you want.
It's too hot.
it's 32 degrees centigrade, which is way too freaking hot Fahrenheit, or whatever that is, Fahrenheit.
Yes.
And we are here full speaker attire, dressed in jeans and boots, walked down to the beach to make sure that we rubbed it in both Simon's and David's face that we are here.
Yes.
On the beach. But this is actually being filmed. This is being filmed on a Nokia. Not a Nokia. What am I saying? This is the Lumia 950.
Microsoft Lumia 950 XL.
Yeah, that's the XL.
Can tell by the size.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just the regular one.
These big hands, it makes it look small.
Okay, that's what it is. and our lovely cameraman is Jeff Alexander. Thank you very much, Jeff, for
helping
us out. You actually have one of these coming very soon in the mail,
950, I can't handle the size.
Okay.
So, smaller hands. So they've sent it on me. It's going to be arriving the 20th. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it when I get home.
Not too bad at all.
And the video quality should be the same. It's all the same pop and size.
So, what did you do for Simon and for David for their stuff? Are they going to like dial in with us here or something?
Yeah, David's going to join us from, I think, his office. He sent me an attached version of his video, like 6 meg. So, I'm wondering what kind of quality that's going to come out when we get to the edit. And Simon, he's AWOL.
So,
I think he went to the UK and then he's been to Florida, so, and then he's back to Seattle, so I think he should give us some stuff.
I think we got the better end of this deal being here.
We got the long end of the stick.
Yeah.
Although there are some massive spiders and snakes.
I am pretty, there's a whole right over here we're a little bit worried about.
Yeah, it's like
what's
going to
be coming out of that
hole. Pop its head out of there.
So we should probably get started.
Yeah.
Well, so just arbitrarily decide who goes first or what?
Well, I can spin a surface.
How about we do rock, paper, scissors?
All right, hang on then. You ready?
Rock, paper, scissors.
There you go. I nominate you.
What? You nominate me?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, so...
Set us on the right track, and then I'll come in with some real tech.
Okay, so do you have a timer going?
Somebody's got a timer. Somebody's going to give us 5 minutes.
I can do a timer.
Okay.
Approximately 5 minutes.
Approximately 5 minutes. And then you have to interrupt me as soon as 5 minutes happens.
I'll tackle you, mate. You'll be on the
fence. Over the fence.
I wouldn't recommend that.
In slow-mo.
Okay.
We have a snake coming out.
Okay. Nice.
There we go.
Okay, so ready for the timer, anytime.
Do you want me to restart?
Set, no, ready, set.
Go.
Go. So we just actually had a new announcement that took place in New York City. I forget the name of the conference. I don't know what it was. It's not here. I'm just looking very quick and see what it was.
You've got the little beads of sweat on your lips.
I am like literally melting in my shirt. You're taking away from my time. Stop it. Stop it. But a couple of big announcements that came out specific to Azure in particular, one of which is the public preview available of the Azure Service Fabric, or SF, as we call it on the engineering team, apparently, with regards to making things available with microservices and applications. We actually use the Service Fabric internally for some of our applications that we deliver to, and where is spiders going to crawl?
Well, I think an ant has gone in a vent in my surface. It crawled on my hand and then it disappeared, so I'm wondering if now Surface plus ant.
So
the ant bite.
The ants bite, oh great. So the Service Fabric basically brings us the ability to have microservices very quickly as far as development's concerned. It scales very quickly. It's able to have known images to scale up and scale down as required. It's something that you're going to want to be aware of in the IT Pro space as a development option for your development programs. We already have very good, strong interest in Service Fabric with over 300 different customers going off and using the private preview to be able to go off and make it available, which is quite good. To get started, just go off and download the SDK if you're a developer. And check it out as far as your projects are concerned. Other stuff that we mentioned as well is there that is kind of cool is the Azure App Service, which is available to try out as well on your subscriptions. We even announced the first opening. I think I talked about this in the last episode. The opening of the dev test preview.
Yeah, you mentioned
I talked about it. It was there, but it was a closed private preview. Right now, it is actually open to be able to go sign up at the dev test labs. Very, very cool to be able to carve up your subscriptions into more manageable chunks, and be able to delegate out units of compute and sizes of compute to your different developer teams for different projects, which is rather quite cool. We also announced at the Connect event. See, it's at the very bottom of the blog post.
Right.
I should put that at the top of the blog post.
Don't blame me.
About some open sourcing of Azure Storage Explorer to be able to now be available, as well as being able to go ahead and to use Visual Studio Code. Now, I demonstrated Visual Studio Code at my Ignite sessions here
multiple times. Yep.
Because it is, in my opinion, a very lightweight and friendly way of being able to go off and to look at ARM templates and have proper proper formatting for those ARM templates.
Specifically for Arm, you can use it for other stuff as well.
Apparently you can code with it, but I'm not a coder guy.
No.
Leave that for the DevOps guys to be able to walk through some of that.
Yeah, David can talk about that.
Yeah. So that's available now. It's in what we're calling closer to a beta release, and we also this time opened up the ability to show off some of the extensions that are now possible as well. That can go with that.
Nice.
I think I'm getting close to my 5 minutes.
No way, you've got 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes left. I don't know what else to talk about, man.
Wow.
We
did some cool Azure Stack stuff in our joint session.
Well, you know, that was actually a topic that came up an awful lot with questions. You asked me to step in and help you out with ARM templates here because ARM templates are supposedly being designed in such a fashion that you can deploy them. No, they are being designed in such a fashion that they will be able to be deployed in all the different apps and resources and solutions up in the Azure world, but that you can take the exact same template as it is and then use that with your code to be able to deploy with your on-premises technology.
Exactly.
And as one of the questions that were asked, you can actually split them so that you can have pieces up in Azure, pieces down on your own individual Azure stack, and be able to use the most efficient resources and the closest ones to you to get the best experience.
Yeah.
So not too bad as far as Azure Stack is concerned.
No, it's cool stuff.
I've got one more session coming up very soon, which is all about architecting for performance and availability on Azure. That's one I still have to finish my demos.
Oh yeah, we're taking you away.
So I have to get back to that after this particular
show. You're bright red.
But it's slowly, you can see me actually turning red right now, just sitting here.
Oh, you're going to lose weight.
Yeah, I am definitely losing weight with the heat that's going on here.
66.
That one there is coming up. You can catch all the sessions from Ignite Australia, some awesome sessions that were delivered by community members and also people that were speakers and from third parties and from partners, stuff like that, are going to be available on channel 9 at msdn.com. Top right-hand corner, choose Microsoft Ignite, and then at the top of the list is going to be Australia as recorded sessions. They go up about 24 to 48 hours after they're recorded.
Yep.
And it's the most up-to-date information about all the stuff that you want to know about. Because, as you know, in a cloud environment, things change every single couple of weeks and a couple of days.
That one there is
a couple of weeks or a couple of days.
It's a kettle of worms.
It depends on which team you're talking to. Depends on what team it is. And you'll be able to find them up on Channel 9 right here where you found the ops team.
That's got to be 60.
It's got to be at least 60 seconds. I'm trying to fill in as much as I possibly can. That's good.
That's awkward.
Time's up.
I guess.
Wow. Even the sharks swam off.
I think the lifeguard fell out of his chair over there.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
wow. Well, the snake that was going to pop out of the hole, no longer.
Okay.
Stay in there.
Okay, so reset the alarm, please, for 5 minutes. Take a big breath because you need to recover from that one.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah, we'll tone it down for the next one.
Down my back.
I know, I'm just dying right now.
Yeah.
The time goes longer when you sort of dealing with the heat.
Nice.
Right, so stay conscious for my...
You got it, I'll try my best.
My time period. Right, yep. Okay, so I guess we don't need to spin anything. No rock, paper, scissors, it's just me. And then we'll hand over to David and then we'll go to Simon.
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go!
So with proper technology this week, on-premises stuff, Windows Server System Center, we have just announced and made available the technical preview for Windows Server.
Proper technology? What?
We've just announced, got that in there, Windows Server technical preview, technical preview 4, and System Center technical preview 4, and there are some new capabilities. The headline one being Hyper-V containers, but I'll come to that in a minute, because there's loads of other stuff. So much so that I've had to bring my Surface, which is now touching about 300 Fahrenheit in my fingers. So I'm trying to hold it loosely, as part of no fingerprints, I'm secure. And there's loads of stuff. There's loads of stuff outside of just Hyper-V containers, which is the headline. So for instance, when it comes to Hyper-V, a new direct assignment capability where we can assign PCIe devices through to virtual machines. So that's pretty cool because the specialized hardware that you need to pass through, certain scenarios are going to be very valuable, pass through those devices into a virtual machine. Obviously it keeps the VM on the same machine, you can't move it then, that's something to consider, but if you've got those needs of a specific device through to a VM, then that's going to solve it. Loads of stuff with NanoServer as well. So new roles, NanoServer can be a DNS server, so you import the package to make it a DNS server, a web server, that functionality now is included, or a container host. So you can run containers on NanoServer, which is a great step in the right direction for minimal footprint OS, with now even teeny-weeny containers running on top. MPIO support.
Is this like new with the next version that's coming out or something like that?
New with TP4 specifically.
Oh, okay.
Containers wasn't supported on the previous version. It wasn't a package that you could enable.
Right, right.
You could do Hyper-V, you could do storage and a couple of other things, but you couldn't do containers.
Okay.
And now, so DNS, web, IIS, and containers is supported. Right. MPIO for storage connectivity, that's good. Agents for Ops Manager and VMM. for NanoServer as well, so more management. And it now supports ESC, so Mr. Snover will be happy that he's got that in there. So for deploying and managing the NanoServer configuration and installation, but it's push only, so you can't pull the configuration at this point. A new Windows Update WMI provider, so you can scan and install for patches on Nano, even though with Nano it's so small that there shouldn't be that many patches for it. Some of the preliminary testing we did based on 2014 patches, NanoServer would have only needed a handful of patches and only two or three reboots a year. So hopefully going forward we'll continue that trend, but we do need to enable you to be able to patch it, and therefore the Windows Update inclusion is good.
Nice.
The NanoServer Recovery Console, which we temporarily named, because we don't want to release, the Emergency Management Console, EMC.
Does it have a new name now?
The NanoServer Recovery Console is a new name. Now supports editing your network configuration. So to give context, you deployed a NanoServer image, let's say in a VM, the VM booted, what you had on the screen was a login. Once you logged in, you could see the network config.
Yep.
However, now you can actually modify it, which is even more handy. So fix any remote misconfiguration or restore remote connectivity. There's the script for building NanoServer images that we made available in the ISO. It's now a PowerShell module, so that gives people additional flexibility. You don't have to use DISM. And as I said, with Hyper-V enhancements, there's the direct device assignment, better PowerShell support for upgrades and versions if you're rolling upgrades for your hosts and VMs. And the big one, obviously, to enable Hyper-V containers is nested virtualization. So I am really looking forward to this. Get it in the lab, be able to spin up Hyper-V hosts inside VMs, and then run VMs on those VMs.
Okay.
That's really handy for labs, for trainers, for demo purposes, when you've got constrained resources from a hardware perspective. So nested is a key enabler for Hyper-V containers, which, as we talked about containers previously, both here and on the containers channel, Windows Server containers, now with Hyper-V container functionality, offer extra levels of isolation for increased levels of security isolation for less trusted environments, maybe hostile environments and so on. So they're the core things around Hyper-V. There's improvements across the board around storage.
Stop.
Why, what's happened? Right, so returning to our normal program.
I'd say apologize for that outbreak.
Yeah, apology for the outburst and outbreak. So loads of cool stuff being added to storage and security as well, making things easier to deploy the shielded VMs. JIT and JIA, so just enough administration, just in time as well, improvements there. And yeah, that's it. There's a whole host of just little things as well that just make it better, but those are the key ones. NanoServer, Hyper-V containers, and in Technical Preview 4. So download it today.
How about your sessions you did here?
Azure Stack, so you can see my Azure Stack session where I got this guy involved, so that was pretty cool. We don't talk much about Azure Stack at the moment, so we're waiting the next preview, or the first preview. So there's some stuff you can learn there, and also a session on software-defined networking that you can view, which covers all the reports.
Are you going to announce the release of what happened on Thursday?
The release of what happened on Thursday?
What happened on Thursday?
CP4.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I said.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, I wasn't paying attention, so I didn't notice.
Too busy worried about snakes.
Too busy worried about snakes and about whether or not the audio... You gotta turn that button off easier, faster. I don't know about that, man.
Are we over and out?
Wow.
So now we do the closing. How do we get out?
So all that's left to do, that's me. So it's time for the other guys. So it's not just about us.
Okay, so randomly we're just gonna pick somebody. We don't know who it is.
I'm gonna pick David because I know he's got stuff and I can edit that in first. So let's go over to David, give him a rundown of DevOps. I'm sure it's gonna be very interesting and you can join us when he's finished. So go, David.
Okay, in the DevOps space, I have just two announcements for this week. One is check out the Connect event that's going on right now. On November 18th and 19th, there is developer virtual event, but the reality is there's a lot of DevOps stuff there. So check it out. As you can see here, there are quite a few sessions from a lot of speakers. So there's a lot of new announcements I know that are coming. And, use this as an opportunity to start to understand the other side of the fence, the other side of the world. Even if stuff goes over your head, it's okay. There'll be nuggets in there that you can pick up, I promise. And we're doing interviews with different people, so live Q&A with Brian Harry and some other of the leaders that we have at Microsoft. And there's opportunities to interact. So check that out and see what's new and up and coming in the DevOps space from the event. The second news item that I have for you today is also in relation to the DevOps Enterprise Confidence. There were a number of different sessions there, one of which was a session from none other than Jeffrey Snover talking about the cultural battle to remove Windows from Windows Server, right? Talking about Nano Server and the path to get there. So check out that. There's a lot of great other DevOps sessions there other than the one from Snover. But that's it. That's my two items. And I give you now, about almost three-ish minutes back of my five.
That was interesting.
It was. It was absolutely stellar.
Go. Dev and ops stuff.
Yeah, ops. Ops and dev.
It's good.
Don't know what you talked about.
It was interesting. Yeah, it was.
You at least watched it, didn't you?
I have watched it.
Okay.
Now that I've edited it.
Nice.
But no, it was good. Anyway, we need to hand over to Simon, give him his time. Simon could be anywhere. It could be England, it could be Florida, it could be wherever he's recorded this.
In his office, we don't know.
But let's give him his chance to talk about what's new in enterprise mobility and devices and stuff. So take it away.
Hey guys, can't be in the studio today to be able to film the Op Show with the rest of the team, but I have recorded a little section on some of the cool things that have happened this week inside of the world of Windows and enterprise mobility. You probably, hopefully, saw something that happened earlier this week with our CEO, Satya Nadella, and an announcement around our security posture and what we're doing around cyber defense. Some of this was very directly relevant to Windows and enterprise mobility, and in fact, we saw the announcement of the Mobile Application Management, or MAM, without enrollment features of Microsoft Intune. What this actually means is that you can give your users the capabilities of using managed apps, managed corporate apps, on their device without them having to enroll their device into your management. But you, as IT, get all of the controls over whether you can wipe the data, being able to restrict copy and paste between different applications. However, you don't have access to the rest of the device. So from a privacy point of view, your users don't need to be concerned that you're going to be looking at the pictures that they've got on their device, looking at their other email accounts, or any of that kind of stuff. It's really cool because it helps to improve your level of trust that your end users can have in your management. Now, we've already built this functionality into the Office applications, so Outlook, Word, OneDrive, Excel. All of those are coming with the mobile application management functionality already built in, and we're adding those capabilities to Power BI and also to Skype for Business. So it's going to mean that basically any iOS and Android device is going to be a pretty great platform for being able to do bring your own device inside of the enterprise. Kind of cool stuff that we've been able to develop those kind of functionalities. We've also got third-party apps coming online with this, which means that the likes of SAP Fiori-based applications, Adobe, and even Box are actually building these the SDK directly into their apps already, so that you'll be able to manage those as well. And by assigning the same policy, they'll be able to interact with the Office applications. So we could be in a situation where you could take a corporate email inside of the Outlook application, open up a corporate document that was attached to an email inside of corporate managed Word, be able to take some of that information, copy and paste it, and save it into your Box account, all while at the same time being completely managed by the organization. And the end user, of course, if they want to be able to use the same applications for their personal life, because we have the dual persona capabilities inside of those Office applications, they'll be able to do exactly that as well. So I think that was probably the largest thing that came out of the last week around Windows and enterprise mobility. I'm going to hand it back to the rest of the guys who I think this week we might be all over the world presenting at various different conferences as well. November is a pretty busy time. So thanks very much, guys, and I'll see you on hopefully the next Op Show. Thanks.
That was good as well.
Yeah,
more devices and devices. Mobility and AD and stuff.
And we mentioned the fact that it's being recorded on the Lumia 950
XL,
courtesy of Mr. Alexander. Thank you very much. But we should do our housekeeping stuff. You want to get a hold of us, ask any questions or other things like that, you can obviously comment down below in this video here. You're also able to go out and reach us on the Twitters at @TheOpsTeam.
Yep.
You can reach us at TheOpsTeam@Microsoft.com.
Don't get many emails through, though.
No, thankfully.
No, that's true.
I'm just waiting for them to sign us up for like spamware or something like that. You never know. Yep. What's your Twitter handle, buddy?
@MattMcSpirit.
And I'm @RicksterCDN. We're going to join you again next week for episode whatever it happens to be next week, because I don't know what this one is.
No. We'll figure that out editing.
You know what? I'm literally, we have to The cameraman's wearing a black shirt, black jeans in the sun. So he's probably pretty hot. I'm pretty hot too. Your UV ban has been buzzing at you.
It's actually melted. So the UV has dropped out.
Let's go and you know what? Let's go for the water.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Cue slow-mo. In slow-mo.
Okay. We have a snake coming out.
Okay.
So what's going on there is you have to swim in between the flags in Australia, otherwise you get eaten by stuff.
Stay in the red and yellow flags.
So they're the core things around Hyper-V. There's improvements across the board around storage.
Stop.
Why, what's happened?
I just noticed.
You never pressed the record button.
I did hit the record button.
Okay, so first of all, I want to know, where is this? 1 minute left.
You're kidding me.
You didn't record button.
I hit the record button.
No,
it's
doesn't
even
just
flashing.
Magically stop. Flashing doesn't mean it works. I said, are the numbers rolling? Yes, the numbers are rolling.
Oh, I thought you meant those numbers.
No. Oh, nothing was recorded.
Right, well.
You'll be able to hear it through this. It's got a pretty good microphone on it.